Blockbus.net Podcast Network.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.
Why him? But I was maybe a minute and a half of this movie before I was not praying, why me? Why me, Lord?
Why
I wasn't worried about you guys.
Well, I said, thank you. Rolling in, I said a title like this, you know, it's interchangeable. Why him? You just call it No Story. You know what you're getting when you're going into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, that's the thing, is this movie is a series of scenes crib from other bad comedies put together. Essentially, there's three jokes in this whole movie that they just do over and over again. A, there's James Franco either saying, you know, fucker, motherfucker, slash talking about sex too frankly.
Talk about his balls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's, gee, look what a fuddy old fuddy-duddy the dad is. Yeah.
Oh, Ryan darn. Cranston. Yeah.
And C, wow, look at this crazy rich guy thing. And that's it. That's all this movie has to offer.
Yeah.
And it's those three jokes over and over and over again.
But they're all like extended scenes, and that makes the comedy so much worse. It's like, not, you know, you can have one bad joke, and it's like, oh, it's one and done. But that joke continues on for like 5 minutes.
Like the toilet joke.
And then 10 minutes.
Can I tell you guys something? I love this movie.
No, you didn't.
I thought this movie was hilarious. No, I'm not even lying.
You're lying.
I said on the write-up, I was like, everybody's going to hate this except me.
Oh,
I know it.
Damn,
I know
millennials.
I have seen, I think, every bad comedy with you.
And you like them? I liked them all.
Masterminds, Keeping Up with the Joneses.
You guys.
And this one is just as bad as those other ones.
You guys didn't even catch all the modern art jokes that were in there. The main set piece with the moose, that was a Damien Hirst reference.
Down to the urine.
Which is the color that the Jell-O turned.
You know, the reason that joke was there was so you could, like us who've seen a thousand of these movies, can go, yeah, that moose and a thing full of urine is going to crash.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Covered in
no lie. I know James Franco plays the character, but I would not be surprised if he was like, hey, can we put this Damien Hirst reference in there? And somebody was like, how do we get balls in that? Like, if we can bring it back around to balls. You can do whatever you want. Yeah, but just bring it back around to balls.
Right, you could see every joke that was going to come. You could think, okay, that's going to play into it later on. And, you know,
Can't disagree with that.
Older term later on.
They even used one of the oldest sitcom jokes in the world, like person hiding under a table while other people have had sex on top.
But, new twist on it.
Very company of them.
Standing desk. Had a motor in it, so it could go up and down. This is a big breakthrough for comedy, guys.
Made a novel, God. Didn't it? Yeah.
Kyle, I don't even know what to say. You're like the bizarro me.
I like laughing in movies. What do you guys
I
want?
Do too.
I do too.
Okay, let's get
to be laughed at.
Let's be positive. Kyle, what did you like most about this film? What did you find especially fun?
Well, let me correct you just real quick. Just because I like the film doesn't mean it's a good movie. Like
that much is clear.
Yes. Let's get that through. No, I feel that the film for me succeeds. There's lots of little tiny things that I feel like you guys just brushed past. You can either appreciate this movie on one of two ways. One, for all the like nasty things that come out of James Franco's mouth, you can think that's funny, all right? And you would probably be kind of the lowest common denominator. But then I feel like there's the moments after he says these crazy things where it's like the facial expressions from all the other characters. It's the situation.
Shameless mugging?
Yes! Shameless mugging.
The awkward Bryan Cranston rolling his eyes and going, I'm going to try and be polite, but who is this guy?
You guys didn't even like Pink Panther parkour?
Come on, man. And once again, shamelessly stolen from another movie. And I'll give him credit for going, hey, we shamelessly stole this from another movie and saying what the movie was. Yeah. But that's not a joke in and of itself.
I will say, though, I did like the chemistry between the two of them. I think they did play off each other. You know,
you're being patronizing.
Don't give me that.
I believe you.
They had a good rhythm going between the two of them. You know, they got each other's cues. And I like that it was, you know, for all, you know, they made it.
You're reaching, Frank.
They made it a passable buddy comedy.
Well, I'll tell you one of my favorite points in
the comedy part, but
one of my favorite parts of the movie is Bryan Cranston is like mouthing something under his breath, and then they cut to the shot of from him from the outside, so you just see his face and you can't hear him anymore, and you're like, holy shit, that's Walter White up there. He's about to kill James Franco.
Now, I want to see that film.
Yeah. I totally wanted to see him kill James Franco in this movie. That much is certain. And like, brutally. Because my biggest problem is here, James Franco is such, for the first half of this movie, he's nothing but a cartoon character.
Yeah.
Like, right off the bat, you're like, I'm sorry, nobody in the world exists or has ever existed like you. You know, nobody has that, not a filter. Well, nobody is, I mean, even when they're like, oh, the daughter, like, you've been with him for like a year almost, and she's like, oh, I was hoping this would work out all right. It's like, you clearly weren't, because obviously you did not talk to him at length about this. His first words when he sees the family are, the motherfuckers! You're like, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Either he's mentally disabled, or this is a cartoon character.
She thought it was time.
And then the movie feels like the only thing we can do to give any, you know, to make the movie feel like it has balance is later on, make Bryan Cranston start acting unreasonably and cartoonishly and sitcomishly to balance it out. You're like, I'm just not buying any of this. Nobody even has the faintest touch of realism to him. And I don't expect everybody to be completely real, but if you want us to have some sort of like feeling about these characters and the emotional dissonance between them,
they gotta be in some kind of reality.
It's gotta be something based on reality, and nothing here was.
No.
Which, you know,
nobody can be that successful and that socially inept.
Like, I can't believe we've gone this far without saying the plot, basically.
There's no plot.
Doesn't matter.
It's all in the title.
Zoe Deutsch plays Stephanie, who is a college girl going to Stanford. Her parents, Bryan Cranston and Megan Mullally, two very talented actors who both have done comedy.
I forgot
quite well
how much
before.
Of a good comedian, physical comedian, Megan Mullally.
Yeah, she actually had, I thought, the best scene in the whole movie.
Yeah,
where she's high and horny.
Yeah, but again, it went on for too long.
It went on for too long. They show up to meet her new boyfriend, James Franco, along with their 15-year-old son, Scott, played by Griffin Gluck. Turns out James Franco is an internet multimillionaire who is completely undisciplined, is the crazy rich guy, you know.
Those crazy rich guys.
He ruins everything, basically, by asking Bryan Cranston right off the bat, hey, I want to have your daughter's hand in marriage, and I need your permission, which makes it, you know, of course, this means war.
Yeah, sets up the conflict of the film.
Yeah, exactly. And the rest of the film is just that, is like him trying his best to win over the family, but most specifically Bryan Cranston, who's playing the old fuddy-duddy at every turn. But like, Bryan Cranston just constantly like, oh, you just, and he just keeps fucking it up. You're like, yeah, I would hate him too. He has no idea how to do anything except throw money at stuff.
Yeah.
I think for me, I mean, yeah, the comedy like never works. It goes on for way too long, and that's always the biggest mistake, especially when you're doing comedy. But the thing for me is I keep seeing this over and over and over again, and all probably comedy since, like, I don't know, last 10 years, but it's the Judd Apatow style of filmmaking again. Mm-hmm. We're going to set a camera down a room, we're going to have these people just riff for 30 or 40 minutes, and then we're going to take the best bits of it. And so that scene with, Bryan Cranston and his wife, you know, fooling around in the bed, they probably did that for probably a half hour, and then it's like, okay, we're going to take each section there. And again, it's just way too long. I never do this, but I kept chucking my phone in the theater.
He did.
I don't do that. I never do that. Yes. And then the other thing that bothers me is that the movie then asks you, after all this crazy shit's happened between James Franco and Bryan Cranston, their personalities are just elevated to 11. We're asked to say, oh, but now they've made up, and now they're realistic characters at the end of the movie, because it needs to finally end. And by the way, I was waiting for this movie. It was like as long as Return of the King.
It was way too long.
This is gonna end right here. Cut. Okay, five more minutes. Cut. Oh, we're going to bring Kiss into this. Okay, because of course, because
that was spoil the cameo.
Because we haven't humiliated
out there.
We haven't humiliated Kiss enough already.
That hurt. It felt so awkward. They set the camera down and just do something for it. Yeah, they didn't know what to
do. I thought it was a good move not being in life insurance commercials anymore. This is a step up for those guys. Why are you looking at it like that?
Really? Even Gene Simmons couldn't even keep a reality show. Nonsense. This is the step but right above going to do porn.
Boom.
Oh, Joe, you've been unnervingly quiet for most of this.
Well, okay. So initially, I agreed with Kyle. But I recognize
the key phrase is initially.
I didn't hear anything past that.
I have this horrible habit of just when someone says fuck, I think it's funny because I'm 14 years old. And so for the first 30 minutes, I was like, he said dick and balls. Yeah. Oh, and then they kept saying dick and balls. And then I just got annoyed with the fact that they kept saying dick and balls.
It's like they were doing the Family Guy thing. I was like, we're going to do this for shock value at first. Like, introducing the fuddy-duddy family, and then we're going to have James Franco come in. But the problem is that, again, they just continue the joke. And then after a point, it's just like, okay, I'm just numb to what's happening.
Mm-hmm. I just think James Franco's face is kind of funny sometimes, just because
he's doofy.
He's just vamping way too much.
Yeah.
And I just find that hilarious that he probably thinks he's doing a really good job.
I tend to like James Franco more than I don't, although he's certainly been in a lot of movies I didn't like. I do respect the guy. Yeah. I think he makes some really interesting choices. Yeah. But then he makes movies like this, ultimately, it seems to pay for the little art films he wants to do. This was actually, one of the writers was Jonah Hill.
Yep.
Whatever that's worth.
Okay.
Not much. And yeah, there's other good talent. Like I said, the underrated Megan Mullally, who has some funny scenes and knows how to play it not too high. Bryan Cranston.
She's got too much reactions.
Bryan Cranston is doing his best, but what are you supposed to do when 90% of your script is, you know, roll your eyes but not too hard?
Well, he's a straight man, isn't he, for the most part?
Well, until they turn him into not.
Yeah.
You know, until he becomes a sitcom cardboard cutout. And then you've even got Keegan-Michael Key playing, the personal assistant.
I cannot stand him in
The accent was too much. I think the character could have worked without the accent.
I think that's Keegan's problem, is that he almost always overplays
He has to do a character. He needs Jordan Peele with him.
He does.
To calm him down.
I can't wait for Jordan Peele's horror movie.
Same.
You've seen that? It looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ah. Straight horror film from Jordan. I'm like, what? Whoa,
it's about
great.
Crazy that white people. Crazy. That's pretty much it.
Crazy white people. Yeah. They're always starting shit. Yeah. It's a sequel to that documentary 13th on Netflix, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's not. But if you'd seen it, if you'd seen 13th, you'd know why that was funny.
None of us have seen it.
Yeah. Cedric the Entertainer in here having almost nothing to do.
He made me laugh when he was talking about his daughter's fiance, or his son's fiance.
I like that we have to defend certain people in this movie. He made me laugh one time in this movie.
Has Cedric the Entertainer made anyone laugh, like, ever? I'm sorry. He's like a guy who? Like Cedric the Entertainer.
Yeah.
His comedy doesn't work.
I always found his name incredibly ironic.
Yeah. Because he's not very interesting.
I thought he was good in Johnson's Family Vacation.
Yeah, thank you. I was thinking, what did I like him in? That one thing I liked him in. Yes, there you go.
I think I must have missed that one. Thank God.
Well, honest criticism. This kid, Griffin Gluck, who plays the younger brother, I could totally see them looking at this guy like, oh, he's going to be the next McLovin. We're totally going to... And he fell really flat for me.
Yeah, but that material let him down as well.
Okay,
yeah.
He started off uncomfortable and awkward in front of the camera and ended uncomfortable and awkward.
And his whole reason for being there is just, A, to be the first person who is like, whoa, this internet millionaire guy is cool. So you have the inroads into that. And B, endless sequence after sequence after sequence of a 15-year-old boy saying motherfucker or drinking alcohol for you to go,
titties.
Yeah.
That scene with the dragon and the titty, that went on for 17
minutes. Yeah, that was bad.
That just like, it kept going.
That doesn't get a pass for me.
Finally, we found something.
That one scene.
If we keep his review going long enough, he might hate this
That's
movie.
That's the only scene, though. I'm just saying, I would have cut a little bit around the waistline there.
This is more of an intervention now. Anyway. Wait, let's go to final thoughts. JJ Romo Pants, give me the answer.
God, that name.
it's Bromo.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Right.
Dromo.
That's a good one. Yeah, Dromo.
Well, this movie goes on way too long. After about 30 minutes where I'm done laughing at them saying fuck and a 15-year-old saying titties, it's just like, okay, I want to go home. You've got nothing left to give me. And it feels like all of them are trying to figure out, like digging for a joke. and they're just cutting their nails up. Like, there's nothing there. There's no milk in the teat. It's just, I don't know, 2 out of 5 or 2 out of 10 fuck it.
Herman.
Yeah, there's this, it's not worth seeing. Don't see it in a theater. Don't watch it on TV. Don't rent it. Don't, when it's free on Amazon Prime one day, don't even bother, you know, checking it out.
Damn.
It's a horrible film, and it's right up there with Masterminds and Keeping Up with the Joneses this year. I imagine some other comedies.
No, it was funny that you were like, why shut up? He's like, you were like, what are you doing here? I was like, what? We're screening. He's like, yeah. I just figured you wouldn't come. And I was like, I was a little confused until I remembered I skipped Keeping Up with the Joneses and Masterminds, and I was like, oh, that's
your loss.
Yeah, I can be there for Office Christmas Party, by the way.
Actually, I'm kind of looking forward to that.
I am kind of looking forward to it, too. Yeah. I've been watching
the trailer.
Thank
you for being a great boss, because in suffering with all of us. But,
the best generals go in the trenches.
Yes, they do. But, yeah, I don't see it. It sucks. 1 out of 10, moose testicles.
Hmm.
Frank.
Wow.
Frank.
Well, I don't have much to say about this movie at all, to be honest with you. I think it's, you know, it's an excuse for Franco to show the mainstream audiences he still can do a commercial movie, and for Cranston to try to establish even more his bankability as a, you know, movie star. There's not really much in here. They play off each other really well, and I genuinely mean that. They do have good chemistry, and I like watching the two of them sort of, you know, try. I think people are wasted here. Megan Mullally is wasted, even though she's game. I don't know why. I just don't know why this movie exists, to be honest with you. I give it probably 3 overpaid and underused sitcom stars voicing in a performance.
Oh, you guys didn't even like that part?
I thought that was so cute. Another, you know, joke that went on too long.
Yeah, Katie Cuoco being the voice of the Siri of the house.
His basically. Personal Siri, probably.
Yeah, which is like played to death.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys know she was in Big Bang Theory? Because they dropped.
She told us. She told us.
You can give us her salary.
All right, you guys want an honest opinion about this movie?
I don't know.
You ready for the real review? No, this movie, you have to enjoy it for what it is, all right? These guys, not enjoying it, as you can tell.
We enjoyed it for what it was.
Your brain off and go for the ride.
Wait for it. I won't even say that. The thing is, if you're looking for a movie to go to without the kids, where there's going to be a lot of raunchy F-bombs and other, you know, obscenities and that sort of thing, this is your deal. First 30 minutes, solid 30 minutes. Rest of the film, lots of little hidden jokes for art school kids and for, you know, the startup crowd. I know these guys are laughing, but I'm telling you guys, the stuff is there. I saw it.
Yeah, it's like the 8.5 of, like, dad's son.
But it's been done better. I mean, you know, look at Meet the Parents. They did that, and that was novel, and that was fun. That was, like, one fresh joke after another.
Actually, this not is the world's biggest fan of that movie.
Well,
it's a very dry film.
Yeah.
Well, it's no.
I like the cat taking a shit on the toilet. That's about it.
The sequels are a different story. Yeah.
It's a little dated, but no. If you're looking for that comedy that's gonna do a lot of curse words, I don't know if there's anything else out there for you. I guess we'll find out when we see Office Christmas Party.
I'll fuck into this microphone for 30 minutes. And, like, y'all can pay us.
It might be funnier. Yeah,
yeah, I'll laugh more.
No, watch something. Like, there are a lot of great comedies with a lot of cussing where it wasn't like that was the reason for the joke. Like, when you watch Friday, where they say motherfucker every second, you're not laughing because they're saying motherfucker.
You're laughing because of the reactions.
No, you're laughing because it's just funny. It's like they're everything else about it are the real jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, that joke isn't that, oh, look, they cussed, and it made someone feel uncomfortable.
I feel like the laugh doesn't come from, you know, James Franco's long line of obscenities. It comes from all the reactions from the other characters.
Well, like I said, though, that's why I'm saying that's not funny.
Oh.
It's been funny once or twice.
Well, I'm saying that's why it is funny.
At that point, to make it funny.
I'm dogpiling.
I knew you guys were dogpiling on me. I came asking for it. I'm a masochist. And to the point that you just made, Frank, I do feel like where the kid, the new addition who we haven't seen a lot before, I think where he falls flat is where the other actors succeed, and they all kind of get their moment to shine. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 double dicks for you mathematicians.
Wow.
That's 14 dicks.
Wow.
I just
Jesus
gave it.
Christ.
14
Is that
of
like
them.
When they touch?
Try not to suck any dicks on your way to the parking lot.
Sorry, bring it back to Clerks for you there.
Yeah, I hated this, as no surprise. There were one or two scenes I thought were mildly amusing, but on the whole, this is just lazy, lazy, lazy comedy writing, and everybody just mugging endlessly in the camera, and just the same fucking jokes over and over and over again. I give this 2 out of 10 times Kyle must have taken a hit off a crack pipe before he came to see this movie.
It was his e-cig.
Oh, e-cig, yeah, sure.
It was just marijuana.
The vapors.
You're vaping.